You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase just the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
he'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chiefs Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders!
Sure, and he just dives in. Don't you? Notice. Oh, yes. Shoot it from half court. Hit it.
J.C. Sherberg, Bill Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
In a steel time, we realize we're all in this thing together. And you learn to take the heat and stand the pressure in a meltdown. In a steel town.
5 on the shot clock. Meets each other.
Good pass. Davis.
Can't find it. Look at Gray ripping away.
Three ball right.
Got it. Down low for Sharp, and he has a shot rejected by Murray Boyle.
Crossover, explodes,
and he finishes over Moore. Oh, big time jam.
Up and in,
a
chance for three.
Kick for three. Cooper got it to rattle holes.
The Gamecocks have arrived on the national scene.
Realize we're all in this thing together. And you learn to take the heat and stand the pressure in a meltdown. In a steel town. In a steel town. I was soft enough.
spreading the word out there as, you know, Gamecocks and all that is Gamecock Nation. And we love them. We've got an incredible group of guys, and we're going to continue to keep building, baby.
The building will continue today in the steel city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the opening round of the NCAA tournament in 2024 will commence here in just a little while. 4 o'clock tip time today for your South Carolina Gamecocks, the 6th seed and the 11th seeded Oregon Ducks. And boy, are we ready for this. Greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard. Welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show, it is game day. It's time to put on your dancing shoes. JB, JC, and Phil here until 2 o'clock. For the first time, or the second time, if you want to maybe bump that a little bit, in 7 years, South Carolina is dancing on the men's side of the bracket. The women, they're used to this. Not so much the men, but they're hoping to get used to it, as Lamont Paris pointed out here on our program just last week. It's a 6-11 matchup that the entire country is basically taking the 11 seed, and we've got numbers on that. Oregon coming in hot. They did win the Pac-12 championship, and they do feature a former South Carolina point guard in Jermaine Cousinard. And we'll see what he's got to say about South Carolina's chances of advancing. But this group of Gamecocks has been at it all year long. They were doubted and then doubted and then doubted again, and they continued to prove everybody wrong. And here they are on opening day. They're ready to go, and we've got John Whittle coming up here in about 15 minutes or so from the Steel City with a last check-in before they tip it off this afternoon. We'll have you covered from head to toe. We'll talk a lot about the bracket. You can still submit a bracket on the Chief Sports app if you've downloaded that. It is free. The winning prize is going to get some cash. It's going to get a one-year subscription to the Big Spur. And it's also going to get a swag bag from Chief Sports and Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Also, the Salsarita's Fab Five Challenge is available on the Chief Sports app. Better get that done soon. Damn. Because it all has to do with the Ducks and the Gamecocks this afternoon. But, JC, glad to see you made it back to Chicago safely. I know we talked while you were on the road last night. It's always great to see Mad Dog. We do have Brad Muller coming up at 11:40 as well. He'll talk about the women's side of things as they're set to tip off tomorrow. And then from Nashville, our friend Patrick Davis is going to give us a little pep talk. He's got a concert tomorrow night in Columbia he'll promote as well, but he's as fired up as anybody. He was in New York when South Carolina advanced to the Final Four in 2017 up there with his old buddy Darius Rucker, and I know that everybody's hoping to do the same thing. So with all that said, we're so glad all of you are joining us here. Everything gets tipped off in about an hour, and then we'll be underway for two of the best days in the sports calendar year, boys.
Yeah, all that smack I talked on the phone to you yesterday. I'm feeling great. I'm going to make it all the way through. Yeah, the sun goes down. I get about 30 miles from Indianapolis, and I'm like, so I had to stop. I got up early this morning, cruised on back to Chicago. But, yeah, I told JB yesterday, I'm feeling great. I'm going to make it all the way through. I was like in Tennessee somewhere or Kentucky. Anyway, I did make it back this morning, and certainly ready to get rolling. Excited to do the show, but excited to also do March Madness. I'd do it anyway. I'd probably be off today, these 2 days, if the Gamecocks were not in the tournament, because I always get together with my buddies and you know, watch the whole thing. But it's very exciting when your team's in it. I made some notes before we went on. I just want to share those with you real quick. This is almost destiny that the Gamecocks and Ducks meet on the hardwood. And I'll tell you, there's several reasons. First and foremost, this almost was the national championship game in 2017. Had the Gamecocks completed the comeback against Gonzaga and then Oregon hit one more shot, they lost North Carolina by a point, it would have been Oregon and South Carolina for all the marbles out there in Phoenix, which ironically is where the tournament is this year. Speaking of geography, we all know this was the site, Pittsburgh, of the Coppin State disaster in 1997. We almost talk about that like it's the Hindenburg, the Coppin State disaster, of the great Coppin State disaster of 97. Also, it was the site of probably one of the most heartbreaking and excruciating losses in Lamont Paris's career. It happened to be his last game he coached at Chattanooga to Illinois 2 years ago in the tournament, 54-53. That game was also, you guessed it, in Pittsburgh. So you also have the 2020 women's basketball season that got canceled. Remember all the chirping that came out of Eugene about them being number one instead of South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
You remember all that? They had like a great player and they were right. We're number one. We're number one. And South Carolina ended up being ranked number one. Those two, I mean, it's different sport, different program. I mean, yeah, same sport, different program. But those two were on a collision course that year to play for all the marbles before the season was canceled. So it wasn't meant to be then. And also, you do have the Jermaine Cousinard and Jordan Birch factor, two of the better players on both revenue sports rosters, have hightailed it out of here and headed to Eugene in recent years. Nobody's really come the other way. So that's an interesting connection between the two athletic departments as well. The Duck is one of the best mascots in the country. I don't care what anybody says. He sold me when they went on the field against Colorado this year, and he dressed like Deion Sanders and rode a motorcycle in. Mm-hmm. That dude's it's amazing. Right. But Cocky is too, you know. So, you know, they kind of – Oregon is very similar to South Carolina for years as far as how to elevate football and men's basketball, and they've done it thanks to a bunch of Nike money. It's not in Portland like most people think. It's really kind of a remote campus. Corvallis and Eugene are 20 miles from each other, and they're 2.5 hours down I-5 in middle Oregon, like middle earth. Now, not to pee in the oatmeal here, Dana Altman, who at times when Carolina's had openings, he's been mentioned for the job a couple times. Don't know if he ever interviewed it, but especially when he's at Creighton. Speaking of, started at Creighton. Actually started at Kansas State, went to Creighton, had built that program, and then took Oregon. So the last time he lost in the first round of a tournament period, we're talking CIT, CBI, NIT, NCAA, and forgive me if you guys went over this yesterday, 07.
Yeah.
Since he went out in the first round. Mm-hmm. And they have been to at least some postseason every year at Oregon. He's 7-0 in the first round of the NCAA tournament at Oregon, including two Sweet 16s, an Elite Eight, and a Final Four.
Tournament, yeah, he's
tough.
There's no doubt about that, JC. He's an exceptional college basketball coach who also gave a lot of credit to this program when he was asked about it over the last couple of days. And now the Ducks, this is their first dance since 21, not that long ago, of course, only a couple of seasons. They have been in the NIT the last couple of years, but they are a challenge, and there's a reason why the nation is basically picking them. I think they're 1.5-point favorites now over South Carolina. That line has moved it exactly the opposite of where it opened, 1.5 in favor of the Gamecocks. But you know, Oregon getting a little bit healthier, and anytime you make a run to your conference championship game and win it like they did, beating Arizona, one of the top teams in the country, you're going to get some love, and they certainly are doing that. On the flip side, that feeds right into Lamont Paris's checkbook. I mean, he's got a little notebook that he pulls out of his back pocket, and he jots down the next thing, and he jots down the next thing, and he jots down the next thing. He's a note taker when it comes to the doubters. And he mentioned last week, I asked him how long that receipt was, because he says he keeps receipts. And I asked him if it was, you know, like a food truck receipt, something small. Or is it one of the CVS receipts that takes an extra 2 or 3 minutes to print out when you're just ready to walk out the door? And he mentioned it more mirrored that of CVS. And so we'll see if he's added to that receipt, and this team has been able to add to that receipt. Because most importantly, the coach can have the receipts. But if he can't parlay that into some sort of motivation tactic for his program, what good does it do? Well, it has worked this year. Not that they'll need any motivation today. They're playing in the postseason. They're playing in March Madness. They're going to be ready to go. But it always helps to have a little something extra if you can fill your body with that and find a way to control it coming out on the floor. And, guys, with a win today, it would be the most wins in the history of the program in a single season. I'd say that they've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, they've managed being the underdog very well as well. So, I mean, this is a position the team feels comfortable in. This has been a you know, kind of a prove it season for them. So, like, you know, let the good times roll. Let's just keep that moving.
Yeah, no question about that. I think I just had a, did I freeze on you? Am I a little frozen on the screen?
Oh, yeah, your video actually did. Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see that too. It's time for a timeout anyway. So let's hit a timeout because when we return, John Whittle, we want to make sure we get him to maximize his time right at 11:20. Plenty of news, notes, and nuggets on this game and much, much more, including some Carolina football and some SEC football news that came out yesterday. Patrick Davis, Brad Muller, all ahead as well. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show, we're dancing with you here on a Thursday morning. Don't miss this, the final taping of season one of the Southern Songwriter Series with Patrick Davis is Friday, March 22nd in the Chappelle Auditorium at Allen University in Columbia. Patrick will be joined by renowned national artists and songwriters David Ryan Harris, Sean Mullins, and Drew Holcomb in this national made-for-TV event that will be broadcast on over 300 stations in the U.S. this summer. Tickets are available at SouthernSongwriters.com. VIP and general admission seats are available, but are moving quickly. Go see one of South Carolina's proudest musical sons, Patrick Davis, alongside a national cast of elite performers. Visit SouthernSongwriters.com. That's SouthernSongwriters.com. The Southern Songwriters Series with Patrick Davis, Friday, March 22nd. At Allen University in Columbia.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, three great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater. Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, in which is today Bourbon County.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare.
But at the Barn Dough Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Coop foul, doesn't call, drive, bounces down low, shot, Michi will drive, down the corner, Cooper for three, it's up, it's good! Michi from 30 feet, got it! A dominating performance at home by South Carolina. They don't just beat Kentucky, they punch Kentucky in the mouth tonight, folks. And the number 16 in the nation will go down, and they will go down hard.
It's 11:21. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show, the building over my shoulders, PPG Arena, the site of today's contest between the Gamecocks and the Oregon Ducks, coming up at 4 o'clock on TNT. Quick programming note here, as we're joined by John Whittle. Quick programming note here. If you are out and about and you'll be having to listen to the game, you will not be able to listen to the game on the Gamecock Sports app. You will not be able to do that. That is a Westwood One NCAA deal. You'll have to download the Varsity app if you're not in network, meaning where you can pick up the Gamecock Sports Network on your radio. If you're going to have to stream it somewhere, you'll have to download the Varsity app to be able to do that. Of course, I know the large majority of you will be watching it on television. It will, though, be available on Sirius XM channel 210. Or channel 203. John Whittle joins us from the Steel City a few hours ahead of this afternoon's matchup. Hey, John.
Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be on.
All right. First and foremost, John had some good eats yesterday. Where'd you go, John? Fill him in.
Well, went to the typical Pittsburgh place, went to Primanti Brothers. Very good. I got the Don, which is basically an Italian, and they're known for their Italian white bread that they serve all their sandwiches on, and putting French fries on their sandwich. So
I was going to ask, did you get
it's unique.
Sandwich? Did it taste good?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's the second time I've been there, but I've got Alex and Kevin with me. Alex Jones, our staff writer, I know y'all have had on the show before, and Kevin is a photographer of ours, and they hadn't been up here before, so it was my second time there, but it was their first, and I think it was a hit.
Well, nice. That's what matters. I mean, you've been everywhere, John. You've got to have a taste for the town, much like Todd Blackledge used to have, and you've done a nice job with that. Maybe we'll continue these food segments down the road when we get you from another ballpark. All right, man, here we go. For the first time in 7 years, you get to cover the postseason for men's basketball at South Carolina. What'd you learn about them yesterday? How are they doing? How are they feeling?
I'll tell you what, and I'll say this beforehand. Like I've done a lot of cool things covering the Gamecocks since 2010 when I started full time, and that Final Four run was the most incredible that I've been a part of. The NCAA tournament is awesome to be around and just view the spectacle of. And yesterday was really neat to come up to a city like Pittsburgh and be able to hang out up here, going to the Penguins Arena and see, you know, everything that's going on there, all the banners and such. Really cool time. Eight teams wandering around, kind of taking in the sights and getting some work in too. And, you know, South Carolina, you know, when they were out there on the court, you know, they practiced for about 40 minutes. I think it was 50 minutes. And, you know, it's not really practice. It's basically just a few drills, get some shots up. It's more about finding your footing, getting stretched out, seeing the sight lines of things and just kind of finding your shot in that particular gym. And you know, there are a lot of shots going in. I mean, like it's not defense or anything like that, but there are a lot of shots going in yesterday, which I thought was a good thing. Much more the deeper you got into to their little workout. So Talon looked like he was moving around pretty well on his ankle. He didn't have anything really wrapped up that I could tell, which I think is a good sign. Miles Studi looked like he was moving around pretty well. His is more of a pain tolerance thing. I don't know that, you know, he's going to be favoring anything on his side or anything like that. But he looked in good spirits and looked pretty pain free. So, you know, it seems like things are good to go for the Gamecocks today.
So, John, I think one of the things I was most interested in is, you know, Lamont Paris has extensive experience in this tournament, and a couple of other guys have been there, but none of them would have what you would call extensive experience. And I was wondering, what would Coach Paris and his staff do, you know, on this trip if they would do anything to kind of normalize the situation? Have they done anything like that, or has it been just like any other road trip that they've taken in the SEC?
No, not really. I mean, they haven't really done much different that I've been able to pick up on, you know, in the conversations I've had or just kind of watching them. You know, it's an older group. So, you know, even though a few of them have been in the tournament before, and, you know, I talked to a few of the guys about that yesterday, but, you know, it's an older group in general. So there's already some maturity about them. And, you know, whether it's a sophomore's first time or second time, they might be a little bit more overwhelmed. But, you know, it's like I talked to Benjamin Bozeman's Verdonk, who's been in it twice, you know, hadn't really played much, but he's been there twice. And, you know, he said, he told the guys, you know, just enjoy it. It's just basketball. Go out there and have fun. It's not any bigger than anything else. And just go out and play like we've been playing all year. And, you know, I mean, I think that's probably a pretty good and pretty standard message for guys making their first tournament appearance. But, you know, there's not a lot that I worry about with this team from a mental, psychological standpoint. It's more just about making shots when you start to kind of dissect whether this South Carolina team is going to have a good day or a bad day. They're going to be up for the task. They're going to be mentally ready. It's just going to be a matter of knocking down the shots at the right moments.
And who is your key player to do that today?
Well, you always know NCAA tournament play because of guard play. And, you know, Talon Cooper has been the guy I've ridden with for the entire year, on as far as kind of being the straw that stirs the drink for South Carolina, really on both ends of the court. And, you know, he's who I'll go with today. And you can add in the health factor as well. You know, if he's good to go, then and he's playing 100% or pretty close to it, then, you know, I think he's certainly got to be key. But, you know, if he's not feeling good, if he's not 100%, if he's not able to be great in the big moments, then, you know, I think it's probably going to fall to Michi. And, you know, that's not a bad person for it to fall to. So, you know, it's guard play for me. But obviously Oregon has their big man on the inside. And, you know, Josh Gray is going to have to be good in there. I mean, he's Dante is 6'11", 265, and just a big old wall of muscle. Very similar to Josh, and Josh will be in there on him some, but, you know, South Carolina is going to have a good plan for him defensively.
John Whittle, live with us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where the Gamecocks and the Ducks will tip it off today at 4:00. They won't be the first game being played at PPG Paints Arena. By the time they step on the floor, they'll know who their opponent would be if they win. 14th seeded Akron, 3rd seeded Creighton will tip at 1:30. 1:30 on TNT. Yeah, the Michi situation, I think, is what most of us are kind of circling when we look at this team. Are they capable of winning today? Of course they are. But if they do, what needs to happen to do that? And then if they want to make some noise in this tournament, anywhere near the noise that they made in 2017. It just feels like it's going to really be difficult to do it without Michi Johnson. Derek mentioned the other day that it's never a bad thing to send a kid close to home, and he is from Cleveland, Ohio, which isn't too far from Pittsburgh. Have you learned anything about the amount of folks that would be traveling from Ohio to Pennsylvania to watch him play?
I haven't, but I imagine it'll be a pretty good bit. You know, it's a lot easier to get over here than it is down to Columbia. And, you know, obviously this is a huge stage. So, you know, I expect South Carolina in general to have a nice little fan presence. But, you know, if we're talking fans, it's going to be a partisan crowd against the Gamecocks. And I don't know how many folks really realize that. We're used to South Carolina being kind of the adopted team in a situation like this. You know, every time out in Omaha, you know, South Carolina's got the fans behind them. But Dana Altman, Oregon's head coach, spent a lot of years at Creighton, and you know, there's a lot of fond memories of him at that school. So, you know, Creighton plays first, and that blue is going to stick around and be pulling for the green and yellow in that second game. So it's going to feel a little bit like a road environment, I feel like, for South Carolina. And, you know, they've played well on the road this year, and, you know, maybe today will be another one of those. But I have a feeling there's some crowd shots, you know, out there in that second game with South Carolina and Oregon, you're going to see a lot of blue, and depending on what's going on, they're going to be either really happy or really sad. They're not going to be sitting there looking neutral.
Well, there's another shade of blue up there too, John, and you know the SEC is sort of incestual. So the big blue may get behind the big Gamecocks, right?
Yeah, that's true. But those are second session tickets, so we'll see how many of the fans wander in early and have tickets to the first session. So I do think that Kentucky would typically cheer for South Carolina in this situation, but after South Carolina you know, put it to them a little bit earlier this year, maybe not. So we'll see what that crowd's like today.
Mark Stoops will send a video message to everybody: don't pull for the Gamecocks. Sunglasses wearing freaks. Nah, but that's interesting. Well, so everybody seemed kind of relaxed, John. You said it's kind of like normal and all that.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I got a fun little feature I've got posted up on thebigspur.com as of about an hour ago, maybe, of these guys talking about how they pick out their shoes for each game. So
I saw that
they were all kind of happy to talk about that. I mean, they seem like a loose bunch. They seem like their normal selves out there. You know, I couldn't pick up on anything that was too different in terms of their demeanor or anything like that.
So to go back to this, just to make sure, and anybody that's joining later, this is a major storyline. Our understanding, there's no doubt Talon Cooper is playing, and it's seemingly no doubt that Miles Studi is going to play, but it's more than likely at least Miles Studi is not 100%, but he will be playing, correct?
Yeah, I would say all of that is accurate. I mean, I talked to Miles one-on-one for a little bit yesterday, and, you know, he was worried when he first got hurt that, you know, he wouldn't be able to play because he didn't really know what was going on. He took an elbow in the side in about the 13-minute mark of that Arkansas game, and his whole – I can't remember if it was the left side or right side of his body just kind of tensed up, and he could hardly move it, and he was pretty scared with what was going on. But it's more of a pain tolerance thing for him at this point. He told me, he said, I'm going to be available. We'll see how close I am, but I'm going to be available and hopefully 100%. And then, you know, Talon seems okay. I mean, if he hadn't been in a walking boot, he didn't have his ankle all taped up real tight yesterday during shoot around. I mean, he seems like he's okay. I mean, I guess we'll see when he gets out there. They weren't doing much heavy yesterday. It was pretty light, so we'll see when he's got to start cutting and at full speed, see what he looks like. But I anticipate him playing, and I think he's going to be pretty close to full go.
One of the things that happens when you get to these regionals in college basketball, as I've learned, is the media that travels with other programs they generally don't know a lot about the other programs that are there, unless they're for some reason familiar because of, you know, regionality or something like that. And so in this instance, you know, there are programs from all over the country that are culminating in Pittsburgh, and the things that they might know about South Carolina are the things that pretty much everybody would know about South Carolina. Who are the stars and those type things. Colin Murray Boyles has turned into a star, a basketball star. His highlights are going all over the place. He's showing up on draft boards. What have you learned about the way that Colin Murray Boyles is viewed from across the country by other media contingent?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's still a section of folks out there who don't really know about him too much because, you know, he came onto the scene a little bit later. You know, he got a little bit of preseason pub, and that's where people really start to build the hype for freshmen is they know their names going into the season, figure out their names going into the season, and then follow them the rest of the way. And, you know, Murray Boyles has had some real highlight moments that have jumped up and grabbed the attention of some folks across the country. But, you know, there's still a lot out there who, I mean, really don't know a lot about South Carolina basketball in general, which is probably fair given their recent history. But don't really know as much about this team, and they're kind of figuring it out still. And, you know, these are the games where you can become a household name and get known a little bit more from a national perspective. And, you know, Colin Murray Boyles will have that opportunity today, you know, especially going up against a guy like Nfale Dante for Oregon. You know, he'll have some opportunities in there. There's going to be a lot of eyes on that matchup.
Final one I've got for you, unless one of these guys has something else, but Kerry Rich, a favorite son of this program, a favorite basketball son of the state of South Carolina. He's in the dance with the team that he loves the most. I know that you've probably spent some time around him up there. Certainly, I know that y'all cross paths plenty in Columbia. What has Kerry said about this opportunity being on staff with this team and a chance to make a run in March?
Well, I know 2017 was really special for him because he wasn't on that staff, but he was treated like a member of that staff during that NCAA tournament. You know, Frank had him around the team, flying everywhere, on the bus with him. Like he was pretty much a part of the program, you know, that during that tournament run. So I know that was really special for him. But for him to help put together this team and to be with them every step of the way from – you know, the time he was hired until now, like I talked to him for a few minutes yesterday, and you know, when he's a little bit overwhelmed in some respects because there's a lot of things for him that he's got to accomplish from a ticket standpoint, and it just anything people related, like that's carries on it. He's a little bit overwhelmed in some respects, but you can tell that he's loving every minute of it. I talked to him for a few minutes back in the tunnels, you know, behind the stadium, and then you could tell a difference in him there versus when I saw him out on the court. Like I actually walked into the arena right behind him up through the tunnel and out towards the court. And like he's just looking up, looking all around. Like, I mean, you could just tell how much he's relishing this moment and how much fun that he's had to get here and how much it means to him.
John, we hope that you get to make a trip to Detroit after this weekend. South Carolina will play today, and then if they win, they'll play on Saturday, and if they win, they'll play late next week in Detroit, Michigan. With the Sweet 16 on the line, boy, that would be something.
Holy yeah, we're smokes. hitting up some of the. No, they're not in the NL. I was thinking we're hitting up some of the Central teams for Major League Baseball here these next couple of weeks. So
AL Central.
Yeah, they're in the AL Central over there. I guess I could just drive from Pittsburgh up to Detroit, go through Cincinnati, and. Yeah. Stop by, see the Reds, and then head up to Detroit. But we'll probably come back for a little while in between and then hop on a plane.
You're going to miss the Guardians? I mean, the legendary franchise, the Guardians?
Ooh.
I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll I know there are a few Cleveland fans from around Columbia. I know Kent Riker, the baseball SID, is a big Guardians guy. So, you know, I might have to get him a little pennant. But no, we'll save up for Detroit in a couple or next week, hopefully.
Yeah, if it's Detroit, you may see me. It's 3.5 hour drive from where I'm at.
That's an easy trip there. Detroit, the home of the great Grayson Griner, and the Cleveland Indians, the home of one Lonnie Chisenhall. There you go, former Gamecock baseball tie-ins to both of those organizations. John, we know you got to go. What's that, JC?
I was going to say Motown, too. Don't forget Motown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Motown. Deep connection to Columbia. We'll let you run on that note, John. We know that you got a lot going on. I really appreciate all your time. We'll be, of course, following along today and hopefully over the next couple of days as South Carolina attempts to make another run through this thing in the Steel City. Thanks so much, brother, and go get them.
Appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
Always. There you go. John Whittle, that brought to you by Resto Pros of the Midlands, SC. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Fire damage, smoke damage, water, wind, hail, you name it. You don't want to deal with it, home or business, but they will do that for you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Jeff Sturgis, I know he's fired up. Big time Gamecock fan. And March Madness is upon us on the men's side and on the women's side. To maximize our time with Brad Muller, we'll bump that break, Phil, and make it up here in just a little bit and go from John in Pittsburgh to Brad in Columbia, who will be calling South Carolina's tournament run beginning tomorrow against Presbyterian. They got through the first four game yesterday, and then they'll tip off against the Gamecocks tomorrow. Just a short, quick drive back down I-26. Hey, Brad. Oop. Is he there? Can you hear us, Brad? I don't hear him. Do you, Phil? He says he can hear us.
Now Phil has gone mute.
Yeah, Phil is mute too. Phil, who did you mute?
I can't
hear him. I tell you what, let's step aside real quick, see if we can
get this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all there right. You go.
Oh, we can hear you. Yeah, there you
did
go.
Did you turn how off your mic? Brad?
No, yeah. It's I don't know. I didn't even touch it and it did that. So
how about Brad? Are you on the new computer?
I'm not on the new computer yet, but I am on the new audio equipment. Are you there, Brad?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nope,
I don't hear it.
Not there. That's
let's
all right.
See. Let's see if we can't fix this. We'll hit a quick timeout. Let's do that.
Let's do it. And, I'll hit a brief one here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Hang tight. Brad Muller up next here on ITG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
All right, it's 11:45. There's Brad Muller. We can hear you now. How you doing, bud?
Doing good. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. It's technology. You know all about it. You've been doing this long enough. There's always a problem somewhere. Hopefully no problems for the Gamecocks, though, as they once again look to make a run back to the Final Four. Now they know their opponent. It's Presbyterian. It doesn't have far to come to play in that matchup. The first game, though, by the way, tomorrow, if anybody's planning to go or if you've got tickets to go and you see a fairly ugly shade of blue outside of the CLA. It's North Carolina. They're the 8 seed, and they've got 9th seeded Michigan State. But so we're kind of used to this now, right? You know, it's this week has been such a big deal for the men. We keep talking about this. Everything's going on in Pittsburgh and how they feel and how they handling it. This is business as usual for Dawn Staley and her group.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the expectations are – a lot beyond making the tournament, obviously, because of what they've done the last 10 years or so, where, well, I guess this is the 12th straight year they've been in the tournament. And yeah, the expectation is to make a very deep run. And it's always interesting. This is obviously a different group. You graduated all 5 starters from last year, 7 players overall. There's still some players, obviously, that have tournament experience, but only a couple really that were significant, let's say, in the last couple of years in getting the Gamecocks to the Final Four, Camilla Cardoso, really, and Raven Johnson a little bit last year. But for the rest of them, you know, they were, you know, bench players. They didn't play much. And for some of them, it's brand new. So there is still that level of excitement for them because it's new to them in terms of being the ones who got them there. So I think that makes it a little bit exciting. But you're right. The expectation is, yeah, they're planning to, to win two games here and get to Albany for the next rounds next week.
All right. So last year they opened with Norfolk State and they beat them by 32 points. It was 72-40. If you go back and you look at that score, you go, oh, they waxed them. But they really didn't play that well. And it was a frustrating day for Coach Staley and her team. Frustrating. You win by 32 points. It's amazing. But per the expectations of this team and this program, they didn't shoot it well. It just felt very blah. Has Coach Staley made any changes going into this tournament? Was that something that she could look back and go, maybe we could have done this a little bit differently to better prepare our team? Or is it just now they were just in a funk? We're not going to worry about it. We're going to go out there and do what we do.
Yeah, I think it's only natural when you have a team that's number one overall seed and when you're playing a team that you, in the first round you know you should handle, that there's going to be that looking ahead a little bit. And so they may not be as sharp as you want. And, you know, also remember that it's been 2 weeks since they've played because, you know, the women's tournament ends 2 weeks prior to the NCAA tournament. So there is a little bit of element of rust and maybe not quite the sense of urgency, again, because of where you're seated. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of sloppiness to begin with. And plus, this is a team that South Carolina is playing in Presbyterian. They played in December, and they beat them by 70. You know, so, you know, I think it was a game where Presbyterian at the time was very overwhelmed in the moment in front of a big crowd. They shot miserably. South Carolina shot it pretty well. I don't expect that it'll be a 70-point game. In this one, I think Presbyterian has kind of figured things out. I don't think they'll be as intimidated, stepping into this environment since they've already been here. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little ugly at first with some, you know, turnovers here and there. But yeah, assuming South Carolina does what they're supposed to do, it sets up an interesting second round. You mentioned North Carolina playing Michigan State. The Gamecocks did play North Carolina earlier this year. And that was actually a very good game. It was up in Chapel Hill. I think that was South Carolina's first true road game of the year, other than a neutral site game prior to that. And it was a sold-out Carmichael Gym up there. And Gamecocks trailed, I think, by as many as 11 in the first half and came back and won. So North Carolina kind of figured out how to play South Carolina in that game. So if North Carolina beats Michigan State, it makes for an interesting matchup.
Yeah, you got that right. And obviously the Tar Heels, they've got their hands full today tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that on Sunday if they can get there. So the other interesting thing about this, if anybody hadn't paid attention, by the way, the first official game of the year, if everybody remembers that Notre Dame game, Carolina beat them by like 30, 29. Right. Well, we could end up getting a rematch of that, a 1-2 seed.
Yeah. It could be
down the road.
Several rounds, yeah.
yeah, that's right. You know, so there's some familiarity on this side. So what has Coach Staley been saying? I mean, the record is unblemished. The last time that a women's national champion won the whole thing without losing a game was UConn. It was their final of those three consecutive in 2016. But here they are again, you know, undefeated. Is there any pressure with that? Because that one loss now, you're done. It eliminates you.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of pressure because that's a goal, something they didn't accomplish last year. Obviously, they went undefeated and lost in the Final Four in the national semifinal. That they want to do something that hasn't been done here. But, you know, I think the one thing that's neat with this team that's different than in years past, I'm not sure the right word to use. The previous team that was here, you know, the same group for 4 years, they were a very mature professional group that thought about things like that. I think this team is a lot more carefree, where they're just kind of in the moment more, which is right now is maybe a good thing, that they're not maybe as getting as stressed about something like that. They just want to go out and win that next game. So maybe it's good that they don't, that they don't have, maybe that they're not as businesslike as the other one, as the other team in that regards. Obviously they're very good at what they do, but they're, it's just working for them. So hopefully they can just stay in the moment and worry about the game at hand. It's just such a different group.
Is there a phase of their game that they feel like they needed to really kind of get cleaned up over the last couple of weeks going into the tournament based on how they finished?
The tournament, the three games they played in the SEC tournament, they didn't play their best basketball, especially in the first couple of games. You know, the first game against Arkansas, I think they had 24 turnovers, and a lot of that was just mental mistakes. So it's going out and doing what you're supposed to do and not making mental mistakes there. Against Tennessee, they got off to a great start and then didn't really finish until Camilla hits that shot at the end, because they built a 20-some-odd point lead and let it slip away. So, you know, it's kind of refocusing some things because they've been doing some good things leading into the tournament. They'd shot the ball well, the defense had played well, and they were playing all 10 players. So you had everything really that you wanted. Now, I'm hoping that because they've had a couple of weeks off from game action, and I know they took several days off from practice after the SEC tournament, that they got their legs underneath them again, and maybe they'll start shooting it a little bit better. Like most teams, I thought you saw some tired legs at the end of the regular season where they weren't shooting it as well. But they were shooting it at such a high level for up until mid-February that it was kind of a pace you didn't think they would keep up, especially from three-point range, and they kind of came back down to earth. But hopefully with some rested legs, they're a little more consistent like they were for most of the season.
The voice of the Gamecocks, Brad Muller, joining us. It's 11:54, one day before tipping off once again in Colonial Life Arena in the postseason. So we had the transfer news a few days ago, and in the old way of, and I said this the other day, and I probably should have been careful with how I said it, but the old school thing is you're going to transfer, or you're basically quit. You're playing for a national championship. Where are you going? Like, don't you want a ring? Does that not mean anything to you? Is there any insight that can be provided as to, was that maybe just the best thing for everybody here, for Saniya to move on and do her thing?
Yeah, Saniya Ja had not been with the team for about 6 weeks. She was suspended for something that was detrimental to the team. They didn't announce the full details of it, which is fine. So she wasn't with the team, wasn't practicing, obviously wasn't traveling with the team the last 6 weeks. So the writing was kind of on the wall. She really just wasn't part of the team. And I didn't feel like that. There wasn't that she was going to come back. They never said anything about it. I think it was kind of up to her to sort of figure out what she wanted to do to make amends for the whatever transgressions there were. And obviously she felt like she needed a fresh start somewhere. And, the coaching staff certainly understood that. But I don't think it was a big surprise, just because she had not actually been with the team in terms of practice and travel for about 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. It, like I said, sometimes it looks worse on the outside than it really is. Sometimes it is absolutely what's best. All right. So you mentioned something a minute ago, and this was, I meant to get to this earlier this week, never got to it, but it is really interesting. Just a few days ago, the men, they announced the bracket, and then Tuesday, their first four, Wednesday, first four, first round today. And you mentioned the fact that it's been 2 weeks since these ladies have been able to play basketball. Has Dawn clearly never has an issue saying what's on her mind. Is that something that women's basketball would like to change? Do you know anything about that? Do you think it's good, bad? What are your thoughts?
It's funny because I think most of the Power Five conferences have that, where they have the 2 week gap. I think there are some of the smaller conferences that were similar to the men, where, they were finishing up this past weekend and, having to really, turn things around. I get the feeling they kind of like having the rest because at the end of the year, you kind of hit that wall. If you got somebody banged up, it gives you a chance to get your legs back underneath you. And it makes it a little less stressful in terms of, trying to plan things. Even if you don't know where you're going, when you've got more time and you kind of know about where you're going to be, in South Carolina's sense, they knew exactly where they were going to be, but even for other schools that know, all right, we're probably going to go on the road somewhere, and you can start, feeling around as to where you're going to go. So I would think a lot of coaches like having that, that extra time to get their team rested up. I know for here, I think, the South Carolina's team was probably off of practice for 3 or 4 days. I'm sure they enjoyed just, having that time off to rest the legs. So I think it's a good thing, to at this time of year, when, especially for South Carolina, in the respect that they play that game with UConn every year when they have their bye during SEC play. So they don't get the bye, so they don't get that that chance during that portion of the season to have that day off, so to speak, from game action because of the Connecticut game, because TV always wants that game in January or February. So I think for them just to have a little extra time to rest is a good thing, and I don't see it changing.
Brad, I was asked on a show earlier today in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, of all places, what's the team that's going to beat the Gamecocks in this tournament? Like, what is their toughest competition? And I looked at it, and I couldn't. I was like, yeah, you can make an argument for about three or four teams. Put you on the spot. Who do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot.
The whole field.
A lot of good teams. Yeah, there's a lot of good teams out there this year, especially from the Pac-12, because that was probably the deepest conference this year. You know, fortunately, a lot of those teams that before the bracket was announced that I thought, man, I don't want to see that team, you know, in the Elite Eight or whatever. Gamecocks wouldn't see them until the Final Four. Of course, you know, there's teams like Iowa that, you know, with Caitlin Clark that nobody wants to see, but you wouldn't see them probably until the championship, the way the brackets. But from the Pac-12, Southern Cal, really, really good. UCLA is really, really good. Both those teams kind of beat up on each other. I think they played three times during the regular season. Both those teams are fantastic. Southern Cal's got a young lady named Juju Watkins, who was one of the most talented freshmen. Most talented. UCLA has got to play here close. We had to rally from that. So Mackett, I think, really good. And then, you know, count out paper, they're an all-star team with what they've got on their roster. On South Carolina's side of the bracket, I haven't seen Ohio State play. I just know some of their players are good. NC State has been good. They're a three seed. A few years ago, when they first started getting good again, Wes Moore is the coach there in Raleigh. They beat South Carolina.
Like, we might have lost him there, huh, Phil?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah. Brad, we
I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost you there at the end of it, but go get him. We'll certainly be tuned in tomorrow at 1:30 airtime for Brad Muller, the voice of the Gamecocks, 2:00 tip at the Colonial Life Arena, Presbyterian.
It's been a bad day with this wildfire stuff.
So right down the road. Well, hopefully the next guest has paid his bill. That'll Jesus be Patrick Davis from Nashville. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to Cody. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service, second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Billy G's Carolina Barbecue presents the national anthem at noon every day here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Tomorrow night, probably going to be a rainout at Founders Park, but Saturday and Sunday won't be. And if you want to eat some fantastic barbecue from a great Gamecock-owned business, Billy G's Carolina Barbecue is the official barbecue of South Carolina baseball down the right field line. BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com to book your catering, any event that you've got coming up. Head to that website and CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com. If you live outside of Columbia, like Patrick Davis does, you can go to CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com and have the Sweet Heat and the Carolina Gold and the Secret Spice Rub delivered to your doorstep. And then if you suck as a cook or as a chef or whatever you call yourself, that'll make it all better and everybody will be happy. And we're always happy to see the fine vocals, but a better person, Patrick Davis in Nashville. Hey, brother.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm actually in Camden.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm in Camden. We got a house over here. We got a house over here now, so we kind of back and forth. So yeah, we're in Camden right now.
I thought you were maybe. You were coming down tomorrow or something like that for the show.
No, just coming to came down. I got a lot of things happening over here in Columbia for the next. I do this show tomorrow, and then I have my I do a festival in Camden every year right before the Carolina Cup called the Where I'm From Festival, and that's on next Friday. So I'm gonna stick around for a few days. It's beautiful down here. I mean, everything's yellow. I've been sick for 10 days. My sinuses. I'm sure I need some of that barbecue sauce. Maybe it'll wake my sinuses up a little bit. Yeah, good to see you guys. Hey, JC. Hello, Phil.
Yeah. What's up, man? that house looks like some craftsmanship back there with those cabinets, man.
I did all this. I did it all this weekend.
I don't want my wife to see those because she's gonna get some ideas. Those cabinets are good looking. But well, Camden's a beautiful place. I mean, the University of South Carolina nearly moved to Camden at one point. Did you know?
I know. That was I mean, many years ago, I would have grown up in a very different place. I mean, like, I was like, but I've heard that was the actual, it was very close. Apparently there was a vote, but it was very close to coming over here. So.
Yeah. Slide it out there.
I like it. It's small town, and it's, kind of close enough to everything. So I can be here, and then still, I got to be in Nashville for all the music stuff, but it's good to come back home. So, yeah.
Let me ask you this. I was in Nashville last Wednesday, and you've lived in Nashville a long time, and I haven't. I left in 2015.
Yeah.
And from the time I left till now, my God, there's cranes everywhere. Have you noticed that? I mean, that's...
Oh, man, one of the reasons why we got the place here is, Nashville has become... It's a wonderful place to visit. Don't get me wrong. It's so much fun. We love it. For that, and everybody that comes there is like, oh my God, how do you live here? But man, it's just a madhouse. It's changed a lot. Like we said, you're there in 2015. It used to be like a pretty small town, and now it's bachelorette parties. I mean, it could be Tuesday at 11 a.m. and you're driving down a street that's not supposed to be like a party street, and there'll just be some drunk girl in the middle of the road with the sash on, you know, yelling at her Brittany, like, you bitch, get over here, you know what I mean? Like, and so it changed quite a bit, but you know, we own a couple bars there, and we actually are about to open one up downtown. I mean, right on Broadway. It's a madhouse. I mean, you go down there, it looks like Bourbon Street in Vegas threw up, you know. Sure. It's just
I used to do a Sirius XM show every Thursday with Bill King, and I'd get up from Franklin, drive in. It was very quiet. And right. I lived there, you know, 04 to 07 and then 11 to 15. And it was like a big, small town. It's my favorite place ever to live there, but I would not move back there if you paid.
No. It's changed quite. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like the game, you know, in November, like the Gamecocks are playing Vandy, and it's so much fun. Like downtown is a blast, but it used to be a place. I always say we used to be only about 10 places that you could go, like bars and restaurants. And that meant that you would run into everybody. You could be like the new songwriter, and you'd be at a bar, and down the bar from you would be, you know, it could be Tim McGraw, or it could be, you know, it could be Eric Clapton. It didn't matter because everybody kind of went to the same places. And now I can go out every night of the week and probably not run into a single person I know, because it's just such a madhouse. There's so many people there now. It's and so once again, I grew up in South Carolina and this is home. So it's Lauren and I kind of wanted to kind of get out of the rat race a little bit if we could from time to time. I still have to be there. There's the best studios in the world are there, the best songwriters in the world, the musicians. So I have to be there, but it's nice to be able to come home. So,
well, and I'm kind of surprised you haven't found a place up there around the Macklemore Club. I know that's a place that means a lot to you, not just because you got married there, but it's quiet up there, man.
Yeah, it is. I actually thought about the Macklemore. We talked about that, but the problem is I'm not a big golfer. I'm pretty terrible. I'd probably just hurt the club more than I would actually help it. And then also it's really close to Nashville, and it's too far away from back here. I kind of wanted to be back around some of my friends and family back here, we're working on some cool stuff here in South Carolina. I'm actually got a meeting tomorrow with the governor. We're putting together a South Carolina Songwriters Hall of Fame and a lot of things like that, and some festival stuff. So I want to be back home as much as I can. When you get older, you start recognizing, it's good to be around the people you care the most about.
And who care about you. That's for sure. I could probably take a guess as to a few names that might be in that South Carolina Songwriters Hall of Fame, but I'll leave that for another program down the road. Speaking of songwriters,
I'm going to be some,
pretty talented.
Voting for Toy.
Pretty talented songwriters tomorrow night at the Chappelle Auditorium at Allen University in Columbia. Drew Holcomb, David Ryan Harris, Sean Mullins will be joining you for the final taping of season one of the Southern Songwriters with Patrick Davis series. You've already had three of these in Sumter, Greenwood, and right there in beautiful Camden, mm-hmm. South Carolina. And we've given away tickets for this. I know I sent you that list yesterday.
You did. And it was all you guys. That was weird. It was just Phil, JC, and and Jamie.
Well, we weren't going to let them in on that. That we took the VIP package.
I just drove back from Columbia this morning. So I ain't driving. Back
yeah, now, man. We were texting last week, PD. It's big kid problems now. You know, I get T-ball on Saturday morning and pictures and.
Yeah, you said you were coaching a powerhouse T-ball team.
That's we're good. Oh, we're gonna run rule everybody. Yeah.
His twins. I wouldn't want to match up against them if I were in T-ball. Those twins. I'm not.
Hey, at least they're keeping score, JB.
When I was there,
no, those, they don't those keep the score. I keep score.
On me sometimes.
Oh, no. The league doesn't keep score. I just do.
Yeah, you know. You know,
okay, hey, everybody's a winner. No, they're not. We whipped your no. ass. You got right. your ass beat.
Your kids no, trophy. Give me that trophy. Give me that trophy. You didn't win anything.
Hey, on the show, PD, let me ask you this, because I think, first of all, I think it's really cool. If I'm understanding correctly, it's kind of like a VH1 Storytellers kind of deal, right? Where you guys just get up and jam.
Yeah,
well, what happened? Go ahead. No, me and Phil were hanging out on his porch this weekend, and we were listening to Lullaby by Shawn Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
And that song in 98 was the jam.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the most popular. Me and Phil were talking, what happened to Shawn Mullins between then and now? We looked him up. I mean, I know he's writing. I know he's written some stuff I've heard that I probably don't know
but
re-familiarize us with him, because that was a great song.
I think what happens is sometimes people that aren't necessarily – meant to be like pop stars just have like a moment, like one song that sometimes just for whatever reason captures the imagination or the airwaves, and that's kind of like Sean's really a troubadour. Like, he's more of a songwriter, like storyteller. He's been putting out albums since then. I mean, and some of them have had he's had some pretty good success on, I guess you would call it, AAA Americana radio. But that's not what the masses listen to. You know, that's not going to be in Columbia. It's not WNOK or, you know, the iHeart stations. But he's been out playing and touring. He's kind of like Edwin in that case, in that respect. Like, you know, Edwin had a couple of songs, but Edwin's really just the guy that, you know, he was a coffeehouse guy that just, like, he's a songwriter. He's not a guy that was trying to be a superstar. And I think that's what Sean has always been. He's much more of the classic kind of a songwriters you kind of think about that kind of tours around in these small rooms and, you know, dark and broody, you know. But Lullaby, incredible song. And he's got a few other ones. He's got a song called Beautiful Wreck, which is a little bit after that. It's incredible as well. But yeah, I find that a lot with a lot of my friends. We don't necessarily, you know, Ariana Grande was supposed to be a pop star, you know. A lot of us weren't really aiming to be pop stars. We just loved writing songs and playing music. And I think that's kind of how Sean is. And I think if you asked him, he's probably very happy that he did Lullaby because of the money that came from it. But it probably was not in his playbook in terms of what he hoped would happen in his career. You know, in terms of being, he's never been the guy that wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah, I just remember that song. I mean, 98.
Oh, it's massive.
I was delivering pizzas. I was like, yeah, there it is. That's a good song, you know. I think Phil and I and his wife found another. I think that the one you just mentioned, we found that on iTunes this weekend. We were just playing music, building playlists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think we did find that song. And
I
thought it was really cool. Yeah.
He's got a number of really great songs. He's been kind of in the, like I said, I mean, I use the word troubadour, but just kind of, you know, the singer-songwriter world. He's still out there doing all of those, you know, the festivals and the things that are very niche, which is kind of what Sean is. And that's one of the reasons why I brought him on the show. The show is actually more, it's kind of like Anthony Bourdain meets Austin City Limits. We do the show and we do storytelling, but I also interject in the TV show about three or four little vignettes where I go and talk about the history of the area that we are at. In the Chappelle Auditorium, people have been like, what the hell are you doing playing? You're a white ass at Allen University, basically, is what they're saying. And they're like, your acoustic guitar going to Allen playing. This is not team like this is what we expect. And what it is, Dave Chappelle. Chappelle's great grandfather was actually the president of Allen University, and that's where the Chappelle Auditorium comes from. And so Daniel Rickman, that is the mayor of Columbia, when he found out I was doing the show, he asked me, he said, man, you should really go check out the Chappelle Auditorium at Allen. And I was like, what? I was like, there's a theater there? And had no clue. And they had just renovated it over the past 5 or 6 years, and it is beautiful. It is an extraordinary venue. And I hope that this is kind of the start of them doing shows at Chappelle, because it's a 500-seat venue. It'll be about 250 for the show because of all the – we have to block a lot of areas for the cameras and stuff. But it's – gorgeous auditorium, and it's got some great history. I mean, Alan has been there for, you know, over, I think, 150 years, something like that. And there's some great history there, and also just how beautiful the venue is. It makes a lot of sense. Downtown Columbia, I mean, in smack dab in the middle of Columbia. So pretty excited about that.
March Madness, by the way, has kicked off. Mississippi State and Michigan State up in the Queen City of Charlotte. So, and we are going to talk some hoops with PD, just an FYI. He did go to New York when South Carolina advanced to the Final Four. He was up there with a guy named Darius. So we'll let him tell some of those stories here in just a minute. You can buy your tickets. If you weren't one of the 8 winners that we announced yesterday, you can purchase your tickets by going to southernsongwriters.com. It's pretty easy, or patrickdavismusic.com, but southernsongwriters.com will take you right to the ticket link. VIP are $100 a piece, and then general admission are $40 a piece. One thing that we've been pushing it and pressing it, but we'll remind everybody, and maybe you haven't heard it. This is going to be aired to over 300 stations across the country this summer. I mean, it's a made for TV event. So how long does it like again, guys? There is no Carolina baseball tomorrow night. It is going to be rained out. That hadn't officially been called, but
oh yeah,
it doesn't take a meteorologist to figure this out. They're not going to be able to play.
No, tomorrow's going to be like Noah's Ark type of weather. Yeah.
So, like, you're going to need plans. You're going to want to go do something. So go to D's Wings, eat, and then go to the Chappelle Auditorium and see Patrick and friends. So how long will this thing last? You already gave us some of, like, what it's going to be like in there, but how long will this thing last? Are people going to be able to be on TV? Like, can they – Hey, mom, can they do that?
Possibly. You never know. The show is a regular concert. We basically do a 2.5 hour show, and then we end up condensing that down to an hour TV show. But it's a full on show. And we do a lot of, there are crowd shots and things like that. So you never know. And maybe you'll just hear yourself hooping and hollering. But it's a really, if you've never seen a TV taping like this, it's pretty interesting. I mean, there's 8, 9 cameras, you know, there's all the lights and, you know, all the TV magic that happens, Hollywood's happening in Columbia, I guess. It's on 300 stations this year. I did it with American Public Television and the ETV guys. So I got to give a big shout out to the South Carolina Educational Television folks. They're the ones that we kind of hashed up this plan, and it'll be on all the APC PBS stations all over the country. I think 99.9% of the country will see this this summer. And this is season one. We just did 4 of them, with all of them being in South Carolina, because it was better for putting it together the first year. We need to make sure we could keep it kind of close to home. But next year we're talking about taking it to some other states. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, I love it because I was a history major at South Carolina. I graduated in a shade under 6 years. Pretty impressive. I know. I get to use, for the first time really in my life, I get to use what I learned in college for the show, because I get to go walk around and talk about history stuff, and that's fun. And then I get to play, and that's what I love to do, and showcase a lot of my friends, like Sean Mullins. You were asked about Sean. I mean, like, you know, people are like, what the hell happened to Sean? You know, you get to see him, and it'll showcase the talent that he has, but my side's just lullaby. And then, you know, David Ryan Harris, one of my dear friends, David's been, he's been in John Mayer's touring band for 20 plus years. He's an incredible artist in his own respect. I always say that Mayer was a huge fan of David Ryan in the Atlanta music scene. That's how David Ryan started playing with John. And I think that John's kind of trying to be David Ryan Harris, honestly. It's pretty cool. He's a great guitar player, amazing singer. And then Drew Holcomb. A lot of folks are excited about Drew being there. Drew's a friend from Nashville. And Drew is, I think he was on Jimmy Kimmel maybe 2 weeks ago. He's kind of exploding right now. So it should be a really great night in Columbia. And it's going to look great on television, and hopefully it's going to sound even better.
Yeah, I saw this great Jimmy Kimmel the other night. It's the first new music, like modern music, song I've liked in a long time. A guy named Benson Boone. You're Benson Boone? He was on Kimmel. I just happened to turn it on there the other night. But anyway, my point was Kimmel has some pretty good stuff.
I think, for sure.
As far as like the late night shows go. So that's great. Yeah. Great stuff. Drew Holcomb. I'm about to check all these guys out, man. I love music. So
yeah, Drew was on tour. Drew actually toured last summer. He did the entire tour with Darius. He was his band did the Darius tour last year, I believe. And he's just, he's from, Drew went to UT, he went to Tennessee. So he's a big Vols guy, but he's a, I mean, just incredible, successful at what he does. So it's a, you know, that's one of the fun things about this, the TV show is I get to introduce some of my friends to new audiences, but also I get to play with some of my friends that are way beyond anything I've ever accomplished. So it's kind of a, it's a win for everyone.
Well, hopefully Drew has a better experience in Columbia than his football team did 2 years ago. We would anticipate he'll have a better performance.
I love us Gamecocks, man. We will talk about some old shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, man, remember that day back in 87?
Nothing's happened since, dude.
You know, like, it was beautiful, man. We beat Clemson. It was amazing. Like, we just, you know, I like the Brewer. Hey, I like the Brewer commercials. That brought back glory days.
Yeah.
Right there. I like that. You're like yeah, I bet he never thought when he was running for touchdowns against Ohio State that it would one day be on y'all's podcast selling fences.
Well, yeah,
of all things,
freezing my rear end off of out there near the pirate ship cheering for him down in Tampa. We were in the lower bowl right next to the pirate ship, and that was the coldest I think Tampa's ever been.
Scored that touchdown. He's like, hell yeah, man, I'm gonna sell some fences in 25 years with this TV. God, I can't wait. And the funniest commercial was actually that one that said, oh man, that house is on fire. Whatever the hell. I thought that was, what the hell was that? That was amazing. That needs to be my ringtone. I literally laughed out loud. I was like, what is going on right now?
That's Resto Pro. And JB did cut that commercial. Normally, I thought I had the corner market on the funny commercials around
here. Where did you find that? It sounds like something from Step Brothers.
No, that was. So there's two Resto Pro spots that run. Both of them were folks. One was in Louisiana and the other was in maybe Alabama, who were interviewed after their houses had caught fire. Local news that went viral. And so you've got to catch people's attention because, you know, unfortunately people do need these people, you know, but you don't ever hear it until you hear it. And I thought, well, I'll get their attention. Let me go find these cats who made a clown of themselves on national television. And we did that. SouthernSongwriters.com to purchase your tickets for tomorrow night's final taping season one. They're you're working. Can I say it? Or you're working on a season two? Has it been?
Yeah. We're trying to figure out what the, you know, it's kind of one of those, we have to let the first season air and then we can see what the next one, but yeah, it looks like everything's leaning towards a new season for next year, which ought to be a lot of fun. And I've already got a lot of people that are interested in, performing next year, which ought to be pretty awesome.
And, folks who've already performed this year, names like Christian Bush, Mark Broussard, James Otto, who is a very large man, by the way, Taylor Hicks, Jed Hughes, Charles Kelly, Maggie Rose, just to name a few who've been out there with Patrick. You know everybody, so I'm sure.
Well, no, we're working on it, though. Next year, you know, like the thing is people like to say yes to TV. So hopefully I can get, you know, you say TV, they're like, oh, wait a second, maybe I can show up for you, Patrick. So we're working on that for next year. And also just schedules, too, though. All these folks are just extraordinarily busy. And so getting them to show up is it's a lot of moving in, you know, spreadsheets. So good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of TV, at 4 o'clock today, our Gamecocks are back in the dance, PD. I mean, this has been magic, man. I mean, what they've done, nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. And here's the thing. While there might be a feel-good story to the rest of the country, They're not really like a feel good story to us anymore. We more look at them as a darn good basketball team, and they've got Jermaine Cousinard and the Ducks coming up today. So we're hoping they can make a run. Every time in the last 20 years they've been to the postseason, they've gone to the Final Four. I don't know if you knew that stat or not, but every single time in the last 20 years. So they're hoping to keep that record intact. So, but they're in Pittsburgh. If they get through there, they'll go to Detroit for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Long way to go before we get there. But you went and saw them in the Big Apple with Darius when they went to the Final Four. Dude, what was crazy. What was that like up there? Because you sat pretty, weren't you courtside almost? Were you down there with Pastides?
Yeah, I've said this before. Like, it seems like Darius gets really good tickets. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like they're pretty good tickets.
I can figure it out.
That was just, it was a random, you know, that was, I think that the Hootie guys were about to, they were maybe working on an album or something in Nashville, and they just happened to be in town when we played Duke. They were in Nashville, and we went and saw the game, we went and watched the game together, and we just couldn't believe. You know, it was like mind boggling that we beat Duke. And then when we're going to, I guess, the New York or wherever it was for the Final Four, there's like, I got a ticket, man. You're going to come here. So I flew up and I sat there on the, you know, right there on the sidelines. And man, that was a magical afternoon. It was something I don't think any of us thought we would see. I actually had tickets for the national championship if we would beat Gonzaga. And we didn't get there. But you know, very close. But yeah, that was magic, and you know, I'll never forget. Darius was crying. I mean, it was an emotional experience for all of them, because it was just, we didn't think that would happen, and that was a really incredible run. But I believe in this team. I started watching them early on, and I was like, man, this is a really good team, and it's so. And this isn't a hit on the past administration, you know. It's just more about. It's really incredible to watch the flow of the team offensively, like the passes that, like, they definitely aren't afraid to shoot. And that's what I was telling somebody. I said, man, we might go to the Final Four. It all depends on if Michi Johnson goes 9 for 11 or 0 for 47, because, like, they are not afraid to shoot. Like, they are not afraid to shoot, but it's fun to watch. And I do think it's a bad draw with Oregon. That's not exactly who we wanted to probably play, but if they win, I mean, they're definitely older. You can tell that they play as a unit. And as long as we don't play Auburn, we'll probably be okay.
Oh, I know, man. Sometimes you just have a bad matchup. I see Oregon obviously is playing well, but dude, this league, they're ready. I mean, they're ready to go. They're prepared for that. Like, they got through the SEC with 13 wins. That's nuts. This is the best the league's ever been. I mean, they're ready. Trivia question for you. Do you know, obviously North Carolina in 2017 played for the national championship. Gamecocks would have played them had they beaten Gonzaga, but had North Carolina lost in the Final Four, do you know who South Carolina would have played in the national championship? You know who North Carolina's opponent was to get to the national championship game?
I don't remember.
Oregon.
The Ducks.
Oh, it was? Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Oregon Ducks. That was kind of torture, because we, you know, Carolina had the first game, and I was sitting there, and what a great comeback against Gonzaga, and you think they had it, and that 7-foot kid goes outside, and I swear we all jumped 2 feet in the air, because the ball, he shot a three, and the ball was coming off like this, and then it was like a bowling pin, and it just tipped right back, went in. They went right back up, got all the momentum, and won the game. Then we had to sit there and watch Oregon play North Carolina. And that stunk, because Oregon has some mouthy fans. You know, they were sitting there, and they were on our side. And that was a 1-point game. So it was very close to being Oregon and South Carolina for all the marbles that Monday night out in Phoenix 7 years ago.
I mean, it's definitely wonderful. I will say, you know, Don, we've come to expect Don to be just, you know, so incredible.
I know.
She's so incredible. We just expect that. Now, I don't know. I actually wish they would have lost the game during the regular season, just because, I mean, God, it's just so hard to go through. I mean, it'll be magical. Last year we saw it, you know, so close. I hope that she does it this year. But the men's team to also be where they are, whether I'm in Nashville or Camden or anywhere in the world, it's so much fun to have two teams to pull for right now that are exciting to watch. So I'm hoping at 4 o'clock today we. You know, it'd be great to win, man. I actually was with one of my kids that goes to South Carolina. He worked for me. He was yesterday, and I was like, man, it'd be so great for you guys to win a game. I just feel like he's a junior, and I would be like, man, it'd be so awesome. You guys would have so much fun. We never had that feeling, because when I was in school, we lost to Coppin State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. JC continues to remind us about that because that happened in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, right. Yeah. So,
well, the compensating thing, I have something to add to that, though. It did not happen in this arena. It happened at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, which was torn down when this arena opened in 2016. So.
Yeah, the one over my shoulder there. PPG Paint Arena.
It's a new one. So this arena looks a lot like Bridgestone. It's a hockey kind of cavernous arena. So a lot like the arena in Nashville.
Maybe one day you'll put 19,000 people in the stands in there, Patrick.
Probably not, but that's all right.
That's not really your scene.
Not really my thing. Maybe I write about 10 lullabies. And then maybe. But that was a depressing day. I will never forget how depressed Columbia, South Carolina was when we lost to Coppin State. It was like it was an afternoon, and we were like, "This can't this really."
Like, it was a Friday afternoon, and Texas had upset Texas was the 10 seed and upset the 7, which I think was either Wisconsin or Washington. I think it was Washington, and Texas wasn't all that good. So you're like, "Hey, yeah, there's the path to the Sweet 16." And it was a Friday afternoon. Carolina was actually up by 9, 40-31, and then went ice cold. By God, Coppin State couldn't miss. They won by 13. My first time ever going to the St. Paddy's Day Festival in Five Points was the next day.
Oh.
I was living in Spartanburg at the time, so I came down with some friends, and I remember seeing the state newspaper and a picture of Bud Johnson with a towel on his head. It says, "Madness and Sadness."
Oh.
And that was excruciating because that team
was so good.
Man. Was on such a roll, and
they could have won a national championship. I mean, they were like, it's just one of those things where you just. And that's the great thing. I mean, that's why these next, 4 days are so much fun. It's because it's even more pandemonium because all the teams are just like we were in the brackets last night, and my wife Lauren was like, "I don't know anything about any of these teams." I was like, "You'll probably win."
You're the one that wins every time.
She was like, "Who's this team?" I was like, "It doesn't matter. Just pick whatever you just, you know, for the, because it's kind of, but that was one of the more depressing it was been a world of tears for us Gamecock fans. That might have been one of the worst days.
Have you had a chance to meet Lamont yet?
No, I have not. I have not actually met him yet. I haven't been around, but I have a lot of people, that have hung out with him or they're close to him, and they've all said just wonderful things, which is what you want to hear. You hope, they all say he's really, salt of the earth kind of thing. And I feel like, if anybody had any questions about his coaching style, I think that he's answered those. And what's really great is I was at a restaurant 2 years ago, I guess, when Chattanooga was in the NCAA. And remember they won that crazy game? They had a 3-point shot at the end of the game.
It was Furman. Yeah.
I actually was watching that game at a bar, and I was like, and I remember how it was an incredible back and forth. And they hit that 3-pointer at the very end of the game, the break, I guess, Furman's harder. And but I remember that was like my first experience watching, Lamont Paris, I didn't know anything about him. And so I always remember that. And I was like, I guess it was meant to be, I got to see him right there. So hopefully we get some more of that magic for the next week or so.
Mm-hmm. He's tremendous. I mean, he is. We had him on, I think it was last week, scheduled for 20 minutes. 20 minutes goes.
It was 40.
I'm good. Let's keep going.
He has a good theory about hip hop music too. He said hip hop got as good as it could possibly get in the 90s. They perfected it. And I think sometimes that about like regular old music, like that. If you think about the fact we still listen to stuff from the 90s, but people in 94 weren't less necessarily listening to a bunch of stuff from 64 and 84 definitely wasn't listening to anything from 54. There was no doo-wop. In the 80s.
No.
And so I have a little theory, but no, it was great. And I tell you, I bet there'll be a Garnet Trust event at some point where you and Lamont possibly will cross paths.
I'll bet there will be one.
I have a good feeling you'll meet him at some point.
We're working on that. Yeah. I think that'll happen. No, I'm very happy that we have, he and Don, I feel bad sometimes when I do shows and stuff and talk about, I always end up talking about the men's team. Because it's almost like Don, we expect it. It's weird. It's like we just know the girls, are always going to be there. But I do think that Lamont and Don together, we've got quite a tandem. I mean, I know they both won Coach of the Year at SEC, but there's good things ahead. I think for the we used to just like have football season, get excited about, and then baseball would happen. And now I think we've kind of got maybe everything's kind of lining up.
I hope so. I don't know if we'll have to do this another day, do some real research on this, JC, but I'm not so sure there's ever been a dual national coach of the year in college hoops from men and women, and the Gamecocks have a great chance at doing that. Wouldn't that be something?
Back at UConn, UConn's have been good. Some
maybe
North Carolina was Sylvia Hatchell, and
maybe
gosh, when she won it all, I think Dean Smith was still coaching.
Yeah, there's only so many schools who could do that.
Yeah, they can do both. But yeah.
Considering what we were supposed to be, it's extraordinary what Lamont, because I remember at the beginning of the year, you know, I just always from Nashville, I'll always watch the games regardless of whether we're, unless we just get blown out. After I figured that out, I'm like, okay, I'm out. But I said, I'm going to start it. And we were picked to be 14th or, you know, last. And I was like, oh man. And then I was like, well, this team, they seem to be better than maybe, I was an eighth person off the bench for the JV team in basketball. So I don't know much about basketball, but I was just like, I feel like they are better than 14. But,
so. Well, you were right, and everybody else was wrong.
It was a good
thank answer. You, guys. Thank you. I feel good about it. I feel good about it. Thank you.
Well, you're not on Lamont's receipt list because it's pretty lengthy. We got to get you out of here in just a few minutes, but as a reminder to folks, when we play the music often, but continuously there are singles coming out from PD's new album that will be out.
Yep. Hopefully we've kind of pushed it to probably being right around football season. Carolina When I Die is the name of the album. And yep. Myself and I had Darius and Edwin come in and sing that one with me. And so we'll put that out into the universe. And hopefully it'll mean a lot. It means a lot. That particular song means a lot to me. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Some of you maybe have.
Well, I've heard it. Well, you've been. Yeah. This is where I'm starting to get. I can't handle this anymore. You played this song for the first time. I think 2 years ago is when I heard it for the first time. And I thought, oh, thank God, because if I go, this is what I want for people to play at my wedding, but or at my funeral, or both, same thing. But here we are, 2 years later. The album isn't out. I can't just dial it up on the phone. No. I mean,
as you guys know, I mean, like the podcast world here. I mean, like it's just so the music business is the exact same way. I mean, I've talked to some of the biggest artists in the world, and they. And unfortunately, we all grew up with albums. That's how we think of, like, we want to put an album out. That's like a statement that we want to do. And the way that the system works now with Spotify and Apple and you know, Pandora, all of they want you to put out singles just constantly. They call them singles. They're not, I mean, they're on the radio. It just means they just want you putting out every, like, 6 to 10 weeks, you put out another song because that's kind of the constant contact with the fan base. Because once you put out the album, essentially you don't have any contact with the fan base for another year or two until you put out a whole nother album. So because of that, they really push us to release singles every 6 to 10, 12 weeks. And so that's where I've kind of been running, like the last song, Tomorrow Will Be a Really Beautiful Lyric Video for Southern Roots, which I put out about 3 weeks ago, I think. And that'll kind of run for the next month or so. And then probably in May, I'll put out another one. Then in the summer, I'll put out one. And then Carolina When I Die will come out with the album. But that'll honestly be like 8 singles that I put out before I put out the 12-song album, because they don't want you to put the album out like that. Now, if you're Chris Stapleton or if you're Beyonce, well, that's totally different. They know that those are going to create such traction. But believe it or not, Patrick Davis does not move the same needles that Beyonce does, you know? So it's I know that's unheard of. I mean, but I'm just letting you guys know that the earth does not shake when I put out a song. So it's
you're the Beyonce of our time, sir.
Oh, I am the Beyonce of Camden. I'm definitely the Beyonce
of Camden. Of
the Midlands. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So you got to point that out. I'm a huge Counting Crows fan. It's one of my favorite bands of all time. And they're usually an album band. And for sure. It's thematic. It's at least musically aligned. Like they change styles or whatever. But this past time they put out they called it a sweep. They dribbled it out. Like they put out a 4-album EP almost. And then the next one's coming. And so it's like, as a fan of bands still, it's annoying in a way because you're waiting on. I mean, I like albums. I like listening song one to song 12 or whatever. But I certainly understand the business end of it because you're in a tough spot with how the industry is going.
It's really difficult. We don't make unfortunately, like it still costs the same amount to make an album. It still takes the same time. But we don't get paid. We get paid a fraction. You know, we can't sell a physical product anymore. So you kind of have to use the music that you're putting out in today's world as just like your advertising. Like, you know, that's basically each song you put out is hopefully selling some tickets or some merchandise or at least getting you more shows. Yeah. And that's where even like the Counting Crows, I have always loved albums because I feel like, you know, you talked about 90s hip hop. I mean, like, you know, if you're talking about like, you know, the Chronic or something, that was a piece of music that was put, you wanted the album because it told the whole story of what they wanted, the thematic message. And it doesn't, like, you know, it's Rattle and Hum for Off-Key Radio, like these things. Oh, yeah, that's a piece. And we don't have that now. It's a lot harder today to do that.
U2 is a great example of that. I just got back from Vegas. I saw Act Tongue Baby at the Sphere, and that's my favorite album over the Joshua Tree by a smidge. But you know, just hearing it start to finish, man, just brought, I mean, everything from Zoo Station to Love Is Blind is, you know, in order with a little break where they played some newer stuff and older stuff.
I think we're losing some of that now. But I do think there's like the Counting Crows, prime example. Like some people are putting out like EPs, like they'll put out four EPs over the course of a year, which each one has a theme. And then they put the album together. So you still get the idea of what was happening. It's just not the world we live in today where everybody, they'll just forget it so quickly. As you guys know, like, it's like, you know, you go away if y'all took a 2-week vacation, you know, I'm assuming, I mean, they all love you so much. Maybe they're just all dying waiting on you, but you'll lose some of that audience because you go away there's just so much noise. And unfortunately with the music business, because of Spotify, the barrier of entry to put music out there is almost non-existent. So even if you're putting out great music, there's so much other just white noise that it's hard to make a constant imprint. So that's why you have to continuously put out music, which is, I don't necessarily dislike it. It just means that the model is very, very different than it used to be. But it does allow, they're actually doing something that you guys will appreciate. I think will make a difference. I think there's some crazy number came out. There was an article that let's say there's 1 billion songs on Spotify, like 900 million of them have less than 1,000 listens ever. And then 800 million of them have zero listens. So people just put music out and it just clutters the entire process. So they're trying to make it to where if you don't have a certain number of listeners after a year, you basically kind of disappear from the platform, which will really help those of us that actually do have people paying attention, because then it won't be so many just clicks that you have to go through to find, you know, because even if you were to put in like Patrick Davis in Spotify, you might get Pat. If you just get to Patrick, there might be 75 Patricks there, but there's only like 4 or 5 of us that actually put out music on a consistent basis, you know. So it's stuff like that that they're trying to figure out, and this hopefully they will, because I think all of us would like to have not just more music, but we just want to have better music. So
of course Taylor Swift is the exception to all of this we just discussed. She has albums and concerts and congruent storylines apparently, something called Easter eggs, so the kids say. So
yeah, well, I think that's going to be, the outliers are always going to be there, and she kind of came about. There's so many reasons for Taylor Swift, and it is such a head scratcher in terms of how big she is. But if you go back to MySpace when she started, and you go back, if you really look at all of these things that happened, it was like just the perfect time for, I mean, I'm not comparing her to the Beatles, but like the Beatles came about like in a time when TV was just really exploding. It's like Elvis. It's like all these things have to happen in order for someone to get in that place. And she's been building her enterprise, her empire for a long time. But it wasn't just overnight. You know, it took her 20 years.
I'm not a fan. Like, I'm not a Swiftie, but I got a lot of respect. Like, when I talk about music dying, she's kind of the exception of this mm-hmm. generation. When people look back 70 years from now, she's going to be up there. And matter of fact, that she writes all her own stuff and it's all personal. And no matter how funny it seems sometimes,
Travis Kelce is screwed. There will be a song about him one day.
No doubt about it. Yeah, yeah.
Stepped into it big time.
Yeah, you're not such a tight end. I mean, it'll be like, just who knows? Yeah. Like, it'll be like, you know, like, it's my tight end. I can see him now. Yeah.
Somebody else who has Eric Church to thank for their musical career, because he got kicked off the Rascal Flatts tour and they added her, and the rest is history. It all worked out for everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, that's just the way it
goes. I like the fact that Jamie, when you guys don't see him on here because he's trying to look cool, but most of the time when I see Jamie, he is from head to toe in Taylor Swift gear. It's really kind of crazy.
Well, what I think about
it, I'm not surprised.
During the summer,
we'll have to do what the heart wants.
Well, you got that right. We got to get to a break here, PD, but during the summer, we'll have to get you back and do some like songwriting sessions, where songs come from. And so I was listening to Coach Holbrook's Chin Music the other day, which, by the way, he did one with Patrick. If y'all haven't listened to that, it's right there on our app in the Chief Sports app. But the one that he did with
Wyatt
Durrett, and Wyatt was telling the story of how nobody wanted Beautiful Crazy. He wrote that song. Nobody wanted it. Finally gets it. You know, Luke Combs ends up cutting the thing, and it's certified like quadruple. Yeah. Platinum or diamond. No, certified diamond. It's like one of 128 songs in the history of the world that have been certified diamond. Nobody wanted the song, and now it's one of 130 songs ever that has been certified diamond, but nobody wanted it.
Yeah, but, that's all it works. You know,
it's just crazy to think how all this actually
there's so much, you know, this perseverance. You know, one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older, I think we can all agree to this, it's hard work, it's talent and all that, but there is just so much right place, right time. I mean, luck, whatever you want to call it, it just has to go into it. The man and the time have to co-join, you know. It's just like Jimmy V, never give up, you know, don't ever give up. That's the idea.
Man, I'm like, I'm so nervous about this game today. I appreciate this music conversation because it got my mind off of it.
Well, if it makes feel better.
This is the sixth time in my life Carolina's been in March Madness. Yeah. Sixth in my whole life.
That's crazy. That is actually crazy. It's to think that that's been – but I feel like Lamont, like I think if this will bode well. If we can keep that kid with the three names, can't remember his name.
Colin Murray.
That guy.
CMB.
Yeah, that's CMB, right. That's easy. Okay, good. Yeah, he's either going to shoot a president or he's going to be a great basketball player. You know? but it's like he's incredible. I mean, I just have been blown away watching him play. I mean, you started seeing it. I was like, man, I'm like, that dude has got NBA skills. Like, that's I don't know if he'll stay. Because if I was a scout, I'd be like, you bring that kid in now. Because he's the J.J. Jackson or G.G. Jackson, that kid from last year. He's been destroying it. And then like, I was like, wow. And, you know, he was kind of, people thought he was too young to come out or, you know, needed another year. And I'm like, no, man. I'm like, if the trick was playing for the Gamecocks, I'm making $100 million. Man, I love me some Gamecocks. But
I think he'll be, because, you know, the thing with CMB, he's got to develop an outside shot to really be like a top 15-ish pick. Okay. The staff thinks next year he'll be a 40% three-point shooter. Think
about that. God.
As good as he is on the inside. So I think one more year, you know, I mentioned Garnet Trust earlier. Everybody go join Garnet Trust, guys.
That's right. He's why we need to be at Garnet Trust.
Exactly.
That's the thing. When you get the team starts getting better, it's like this, you know, be careful what you wish for.
No kidding.
They're going to be asking for some more money.
That's good. That's good stuff. Right.
PatrickDavisMusic.com. If you'd like to spend some money, you can certainly go there and find all of his music and all that type of stuff. But you can also buy your tickets to tomorrow night's Southern Songwriter Series at the Chappelle Auditorium at Allen University or Southern Songwriters.
Next Friday, I'll be in Camden. So y'all come on and hang out in Camden before the Carolina Cup. Weekend.
That's exactly
right. Never see a horse. We don't ever see horses at the Carolina Cup. I mean, we know the horses are there. But it's usually just drinking.
I had to retire from that event about 23 years ago.
For those interested in buying a ticket to that, by the way, gates open at 5:30 on the town green in Camden. Tickets from $30 GA up to $100 VIP, but that includes a T-shirt. So
You get a T-shirt. Yeah, you get one of Jamie's Taylor Swift shirts. That's what we're going to do. He's got him. He's going to be there handing out Taylor Swifty packages. It's a pretty good deal. Yeah,
Pink Taylor Swift koozie, our water bottle, workout water bottle,
the yoga
mat.
It's a love story, baby. Just say yes.
That's right. I don't really know any songs. I'm going for it. I know that was one of them.
Or the big old cock hat that PD's got on. I should have worn mine today. You can buy that as well. Were you about to play us music or what?
No, man, it's electric guitar, man. This is an old guitar. I was just sitting around the house playing, waiting on you guys, listening to Ryan Brewer sell fences and thinking I needed some barbecue sauce, which actually did look really good. That was a good commercial. I like that one. And then we did the national anthem, and I was like, I need to stand up, and like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. I was very confused. I was like, it was beautiful. It was really nice.
Yeah. Well, if you perform the anthem one day, we'll use your version at noon. If you want to do that, just send it to us and we'll dub it in there.
I think that's what I'll do. Do y'all do it every day at noon? Is that every day?
Every day at noon.
Oh, that is some, I like that. Look at you guys.
If you want some barbecue sauce and stuff, we'll get Mr. Bill. Hey, I don't know if you know Bill. Do you know Bill Goss? Mm-hmm. We need to introduce you to Bill Goss.
It's Billy legit. G's
barbecue.
It's legit.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're the best caterers on the planet. Play basketball at South Carolina for Frank McGuire.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I like the commercial. It was a good commercial. I liked it. Not as much as I like the fire commercial. That was good. That was my favorite one. Of all the commercials I've seen on your show, that one right there.
That's the best. Building is on fire.
It sounds like something from the Snoop album, you know, when they had everybody back in the back just talking. It's like, that's what it sounded like. Yeah,
this beat comes in.
I didn't know what I was watching. I was like, "What just happened?" And I was like, "Oh, this is an actual commercial."
Talk about something else that's lost is the interlude on the album, right there.
All right, final score today. I know you're going to pick them to win. What's the score?
I think it's like if we score 70, we win, right? So I'm going to say 77 to 68.
Ooh, good one. All right. I like that.
I like it.
It makes me feel better. I'm
Talon Cooper free throws to wrap it up there and get you a 3-possession win. That's what we want.
You just never know. Like, it's one of those situations. If they win today, just because everything's just so, there's a lot of parity. Like, y'all talk about this, I'm sure, all the time. But, like, we could win. We could get a Sweet 16, and you never know who you're going to play in the Sweet 16. So you could end up in the Elite Eight just based on matchups. So,
could be Tennessee a third time in the Sweet 16. Yeah, Tennessee for a third time.
I don't want to see, but I don't believe in Rick Barnes when it comes to the NCAA. So I think we got a chance.
Best coach in the country during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still remember him losing that game with Clemson. Remember when UConn threw the ball? I was a little kid. I remember I didn't even like Clemson. I felt bad for him. And I was like six. I was like, that should not have happened. But yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, but so anyway, yeah, we're gonna win it all.
Yeah, as always, a very believable prediction from our friend Patrick Davis. SouthernSongwriters.com. Buy your tickets. It's gonna be a blast. I would really wish I could be there tomorrow night, but we know that y'all have a lot of fun. No baseball tomorrow night. No Carolina basketball. Get out of the women's game and head across the street to the Chappelle Auditorium. Southern Songwriters.
Yeah, come over. Allen's a beautiful, beautiful campus, and the Chappelle Auditorium is great. I don't know if Dave Chappelle's going to be there, but it is named after his family. So there you go.
Well, that would be something if he shows up. Yeah. Hey, man, always good to see you. Appreciate everything you do for us, and your music is fantastic. Everybody, make sure you download all of Patrick's music. Just type it in, and wherever you download your music, play it over and over and over. Tip today at 4. You got 3 hours to play his music until Carolina tips off.
Man, that is going to be a good Friday afternoon, or Thursday afternoon, whatever.
And Friday.
All right. Yeah. Much love, guys. Go Cops. And see y'all later.
Thank you, brother. Patrick Davis. Make sure you, PatrickDavisMusic.com, on Twitter at PD Music. So what we're going to do is we're going to get out of here. We're going to let all of you enjoy the rest of your afternoon of March Madness. We're a shade over 3 hours from tip-off in the Steel City, Really looking forward to this one. We will be here tomorrow. Mike Morgan will be here tomorrow as well. Have you totally recapped. And hopefully it'll be a good recap. It will also get you ready to go for Carolina baseball. Didn't get into South Carolina football today. Obviously, the SEC had some major scheduling news, and Gamecocks added an off-field staffer, very popular name. We will get to all of that tomorrow. So we hope that you will join us for a full program tomorrow. But thanks to Patrick Davis, Brad Muller, and John Whittle for joining us.
Yeah, I think Shula will help the Gamecocks. Mike Shula, quarterback guy. That's one. And two, if you're wondering about the schedule, didn't hear about it, it's just this year's schedule flipped.
So, yeah.
So a pretty Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson all coming to Willie B in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Man. And not to mention, they opened the year in Atlanta with Virginia Tech. So it's going to be a challenge. I do have some thoughts, though, on that schedule. And we'll give it to you tomorrow. If you didn't join us at the top of the program, we'll leave you with hopefully something that'll get you going for today's matchup between the 11th-seeded Oregon Ducks and the 6th-seeded South Carolina Gamecocks. Steve Moakler, Steeltown, is perfect for the scene. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
In a steel town, we realize we're all in this thing together. And you learn to take the heat and stand the pressure in a meltdown. In a steel town.
5 on the shot clock. Meachie John.
Good pass. Davis.
Can't find it. Look at Gray ripping away.
Three ball right.
Got it. Down low for Sharp, and he has a shot rejected by Murray Boyle.
Crossover, explodes, and he finishes over Moore.
What a big time jam.
Up and down, a chance for three.
Kick for three.
Cooper got it to rattle home.
The Gamecocks have arrived on the national scene.
Steel town, we realize we're all in this thing together, and you learn to take the heat and stand the pressure in a meltdown. In a steel town.
Spreading the word out there for Gamecocks and all that is Gamecock Nation, and we love them. Got an incredible group of guys, and we're going to continue to keep building, baby.